Remember the Beatles left England because of the, and the, so the Rolling Stones, a lot of big bands gave up their British citizenship, or at least their British national businesses, because the taxes were so bad in the 60s and 70s in England.
And you see it now in France. A lot of big celebrities like Gerard Depardieu are saying that, that the number, the percentage of income tax they're taking is just too high, so they're all leaving France.
Right. So they go to somewhere else, right? So that's what happened. So over the weekend, the New York Times drops the story that Donald Trump had a $916 million carry forward from losses in 1 year in 1995. Now, Donald Trump has just spoken in Pueblo, Colorado, and addressed this directly. Now, what I find very interesting here is, and we're going to replay this for you, so you can hear it for yourself and make your own decisions about whether you think it's a reasonable explanation or not. But he is, he starts by saying this is an alleged tax return, but then goes on to defend exactly what happened in it.
Well, let's whoever turned it over committed a felony. First of all, start there because you can't release someone else's tax returns, and you can't. I mean, where'd you get it? Where'd the leak come from? That's a separate issue. But much as a lot was made of the DNC leaks and wondering where it came from instead of the contents of what it was, I think there's a legitimate conversation around that as well. But you're right.
That's correct. And by the way, this was the state version, not a federal version of the taxes that this particular item that we've seen the picture of now. It's a state of New York income tax return. So it was very
1995.
Right. So here's Donald Trump just a few minutes ago in Pueblo, Colorado, explaining this.
Changed dramatically, and the business landscape changed with it. Bank failures and collapse, the absolute total destruction of the savings and loan industry, and the implosion of the retail market and real estate in general, something we've never seen anything like it. Many business people, including many of my competitors and some of my friends, were not able to survive. Companies, jobs, and opportunities were lost, and lives were destroyed as tens of thousands of people were put out of work. Some of the biggest and strongest people and companies went absolutely bankrupt, which I never did, by the way. Are you proud of me?
All right, stop right there for a second. Are you proud of me?
What? Was that on prompter or off prompter, do you think?
Okay, so
why doesn't he just add daddy on the end of that?
Well, you can hear, I think it's mommy. I think that was the issue. I think mommy's the issue here, not daddy. You want to know the truth?
This is getting very Freudian.
Yeah, but what he does there, it's very interesting because he's, and we'll play the rest of it here in just a second, but he... He has to be loved. Are you proud of me?
Well, his ego is speaking really strongly in this recent. He's on defense, which is never where you want to be as a political candidate. But his ego is talking. Look how great my businesses are. You know, it's just. I think a better message right now would be, look, Hillary Clinton and her pals are the ones who have created the tax system that we currently exist under. I was just legally doing what's right and what a million other business owners do across America. You depreciate your losses and carry forward losses. To me, it's very standard, and it just seems as if for him to just defend his fragile ego is just not where you want to be.
But here's what he's most upset about. Not that the thing is out so much, is that the day two and day three criticism of this isn't, hey, he's not paying taxes, because it's totally legal for him not to pay taxes.
Well, I think there is something that people find unsettling about a billionaire for 18 years, which is how many people are spinning it, hasn't paid taxes. We don't know that to be true because this is just a snapshot of his taxes from 20 years ago. But people are, that's when you watch the political talk shows on Sunday, that's what they were all saying,
right?
Is that, oh, he hasn't paid any taxes. Here he is, a billionaire.
And we don't know that.
Necessarily true.
We don't know that to be true. And we also don't know, but we don't know what he does or doesn't, because he won't release his tax returns.
He's not being transparent about
But because of, for reasons like this. And it is fun for people who don't travel in these circles, who don't have accountants and don't have a big multi-million-dollar corporations or multi-billion-dollar corporations. This is something that a lot of companies do. This is not that unusual. So it is.
Forbes says a million taxpayers last year used this similar tax law to claim losses
correct
against future gains.
That's exactly right. So this is that does happen. So I don't even think that's the thing. That's as big of a deal because that is explainable. And he goes on to explain it, and I think actually pretty well here. I think he does himself some service here, and I'll play that in just a second. But I think he's really responding more to the fact that people are saying, well, how'd you lose $1 billion?
That's it. And this is ego talking.
And so he's explaining that part first.
Would have loved to use that card, but I just didn't want to do it. Thank you. Yet today, my company is bigger, stronger, far greater assets than it's ever had before, more premium properties. We've never done better. It's the strongest we've ever been. And we employ thousands of people, and over the years have employed thousands and thousands of people, which is the thing that frankly makes me most happy. That did not happen by chance or luck. It happened by action and talent. A lot of talent. I was able to use the tax laws of this country and my business acumen to dig out of the real estate mess. You would call it a depression, when few others were able to do what I did. In those,
hold on 1 second there. Notice he's reading this, and he says acumen as opposed to acumen, because
he's off the prompter.
Because he's off the prompter, and he's like, and I think what's fascinating about this too, this is where he is at his best when he's on the prompter, which is the great irony, of course, because he always said that being on the prompter was a weakness of every other politician. But it is his only time where he is strong. It is the only when someone else is writing the words for him, which this is clearly written for him, because it's cogent. It's not the word salad that you normally get from him. It is. He's making a very, and this is very valuable to him, what he's saying here, and we'll see how much the exposure that this gets. But this is a very well articulated defense so far.
In those most, if I'm a star, thank you. You are too.
Off the prompter, see here. Yeah, there you go. Back on the prompter. Please get on the prompter.
Oh, they were amazing times. In those most difficult times, when so many had their backs to the wall, I reached within myself and delivered for my company, my employees, my family, and the communities where my properties existed. And I really delivered. Those who spend their entire lives within the confines of government work and who know virtually nothing of business fail to understand the skill, dedication, the sheer grit it takes for a company to climb out of an economic depression of the scale we had in the early 90s.
Now, what's interesting about that is we picked it up from there. I was watching it just a few seconds before we were able to pick it up. He said that this era of the 1990s, and this was the SNL crisis. I think it's best known as that, savings and loan crisis. Charles Keating and the Keating Five and all that. Remember those?
Yeah.
That era. He makes the argument that there was a that this was worse, the second worst calamity to the Great Depression, and far worse. These are his words. Far worse than the Great Recession.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that was well advised to say it like that, because people are now reacting to the Great Recession. Don't make people feel like, hey, I did something that was much worse, when most of those people do remember the 90s and weren't as affected as real estate. And basically what happened was the mortgage loans and bank loans on real estate, which is primarily what SNL savings and loans do. That's where they really got jammed
hurt.
Up. And then
right.
they made all of these new banking laws, and then they pulled back on the banking laws. So it was a very interesting era, he's not wrong. And I think this is a very competent defense of this New York Times story. Again, I think he's dangerous. I don't think he should be president of the United States. But I think that he has jujitsu'd this. He has used his own body weight to fight back against the New York Times piece.
But no question about it, it's been a rough week for him. I mean, you see Clinton is now up 5 points in Florida, and he's lost some of those undecideds.
But he went up in Ohio.
He did.
That's interesting to me. All right, well, more on this a little bit later on in the program. There is Donald Trump defending himself in Pueblo, Colorado just minutes ago, and you're probably hearing it on the radio here first. So I'm going to pat myself on the back, like in a Trumpian sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
now,
Trumpian.
That's right. Okay.
So true.
We
are you proud of me?
Are you proud of me?
We're very proud of
How needy
all of
is
you.
That? Do we want a president who's Vladimir, are you proud of me? I win the election. I'm going to hand you all my nuclear weapons now.
God,
Vladimir.
God, no.
Vladimir, are you proud of me?
Oh.
I love you, Vladimir.
Did you see that Vladimir was on the Trump team for Family Feud, Saturday Night Live over the weekend?
Yes,
it was so beautiful.
Here is Violetta Podomatic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.